Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
About That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynNBet.com and download the app today.
We're also brought to you by Roman. Roman is the straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just head to GetRoman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month. That's GetRoman.com/SGP.
We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is home to the Best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Welcome, everyone, to About That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kyle Waddy. Wattenell, joined by my co-host and partner in picks, Mark Megatron Glass. Today is Monday, May 10th. Mark, how was your weekend?
Fantastic weekend celebrating my mother, my dearest
right.
mother. I know she's listening right now, so I'll give a shout out to my mom, I guess. I wanted to say I'm very excited. We're in the countdown mode, Kyle. We're in countdown mode of no more, what do we call them, virtual episodes?
That's right.
If the listeners couldn't tell
no
by my shitty audio quality and our decrease in banter over the last couple months.
Yeah.
We've been doing everything remote, obviously, while I've been back and forth between Orange County and Los Angeles. And you're down in San Diego and Tijuana, right? You've been going to Tijuana
That's
a bunch.
That's right, all the time. Yep, all the
Tijuana
time.
Strip clubs.
But you'll be coming down, Mark, for the summer.
I'm coming down officially for June of 2021
How
to
about
San
that?
Diego.
How about
we've got
that?
We've got show updates. You're the guy in charge of all this stuff.
Yeah, I am
just
the boss.
One that feeds off the excitement.
Yeah, we do have a lot of exciting things coming. We are going through a rebrand, folks. About That Action is going to go through a rebrand. We're going to have a new show name. We're going to get our own feed. So basically you'll be able to subscribe to our podcast, exclusively coming up in the next couple of weeks here. We will go through a short period where we'll be simulcasting, on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network and the new feed. So you'll be able to get shows on both, but the point of that is we'll want people to transfer over to our feed, and subscribe to our podcast exclusively and leave reviews exclusively over there as well. So we're going to be going through that. We decided our new show, if you will be focused on some soccer, some fights. That's what we love talking about most. That's what we love bantering about. That's what we love breaking down. It's going to be a super exciting new show. Lots of in-person recordings, guests coming to the show. Lots of exciting things coming up, Mark. Did I leave anything out?
No, I think that's the key. We're going to be narrowing down our focus just a little bit.
Yeah, No more Formula One, Mark. Sorry
we
about
may,
that.
I'm going to negotiate with Sean and Ryan that we can have Formula One at my discretion, my sole
As a
discretion.
Bonus, a bonus that's, podcast every once in a while.
That's a huge sticking point in my new contract.
Yes.
But yeah, so just an opportunity for us to speak about the things that we enjoy more frequently and
right.
give better picks out to the listeners, and everyone makes more money. So it's a
that's
win-win.
What it's all about.
Roman scenario. Looking forward to getting to that.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast, for your subscriptions, your reviews. That's what's helped us out to make this big jump to our own feed. We're very excited about it, so stay tuned. On this channel over the next couple of weeks, we'll be providing more updates on that transition that's going to be taking place. Very exciting. It's going to be a big summer. That transition is going to be kicked off, if you will, with the Euro 2021 tournament taking place in June. That is why Mark is coming down to San Diego. We're going to basically be hanging out, going to the beach every day, and of course, focusing solely on the Euro 2021 soccer tournament over that month, just firing out content, firing out episodes, firing out picks. So we're really looking forward to that as the kind of big kickoff for our new feed. Speaking of other news in the sports world, Mark, there was a big boxing fight over the weekend. Canelo TKOs Joe Saunders, big uppercut, breaks a bunch of bones in his orbital. Your thoughts on the fight? And Canelo's just too good. I don't know who's going to take down Canelo.
Yeah, he's on a different planet right now. Maybe Jake Paul. I'll take Jake Paul to beat him. No, yeah, he literally broke Billy Joe Saunders' face, right? They said right. His orbital bone, like, right under his eye. And so a lot
bad.
Of people were upset because Saunders played it well. It was a pretty close fight all the way throughout. Like, Canelo probably had the upper hand mostly. And then as it went on, Canelo just landed a few key shots there that impacted him pretty strongly. So Saunders, in between rounds, had to pull out, and that's how he won. So a lot of people were a little bit disappointed in that, but
yeah, people are always bummed when that happens. But
you step in the ring and fight one of the greatest fighters ever, and then you
with
let
a broken
me know
eye
how
socket.
It goes for you.
Yeah, for sure.
You let me know how that goes, and then you can complain. But yeah, I mean, obviously, big respect to Canelo. Got to watch that guy as much as you can while he's still around because he's special.
Agreed. He is special. Speaking of special, lots of special wide receivers in the NFL, but perhaps none greater than DK Metcalf of the Seattle Seahawks. He made headlines over the weekend, Mark. He made his pro track debut, ran the 100-meter dash in 10.36, his official time. I think he finished like ninth, but he was, you know, it was not tough to see which one was DK Metcalf in that lineup of guys. He's just an absolute beast running down the track. Your thoughts on DK Metcalf's track debut and performance?
That was awesome. Total respect to DK Metcalf. He put himself out there out of his comfort zone.
Right.
And oh my God, talk about winning the genetic lottery. This guy, like you said, they're panning down the list and he was like towards the end of the row, right?
Right.
So you see every sprinter before.
Right.
And like they're all ranging from like 5'11 to like 6'3". So like he's not that much taller, but it's just like they're all like twigs compared to him. And then all of a sudden, it just pans to this monster of a human being. He's huge compared to these guys.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the guy who won the race won at 10.1 seconds, 10.12.
Right.
So he was only he was basically 0.2 seconds
away
faster. That's how close this was,
right.
You know? Which, yeah, I think he got second to last in the heat. Like, he was 9 out of 10 or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these are world-class sprinters. This guy's not a sprinter full-time. So,
right.
I mean, and like we said, he's coming in 60 pounds heavier than anybody else. So it really just shows how much of a freak this guy is. I mean, we already knew it, but now we get to measure it on paper with
right.
world-class sprinters. So
sure.
I hope he does more of it. I hope more NFL guys look into this too, like a Tyreek Hill, for example.
Imagine
the other
Tyreek,
guys that are
Tyreek
known
could
for their
easily
speed, and they're like, oh, DK Metcalf did that. I want to try.
Sure.
I think that'd be a win-win for everyone because it's cool to just watch these guys sprint.
Yeah.
It's like watching a 40-yard dash, but it's twice as long and against other world-class guys. And I think it's good for the sport of track too to get these guys
totally
watching, because no, let's be honest, no one fucking
right.
watches
that,
no
that's
one watches
what
track.
I, that's
watch
what
Usain
I was just
Bolt.
Thinking yeah totally
watch Usain Bolt for 10 seconds every 4 years and that's
right.
about it.
Just how we get
everyone
just how we get boxers or YouTubers going into boxing to shine some light on the sport, we could get some NFL players joining these track meets and getting some publicity to that sport. Wouldn't be that bad of a thing. So that was a cool highlight over the weekend, of course. In more sad news, Medina Spirit, the horse that won the Kentucky Derby, Mark, ends up testing positive for PEDs yesterday morning. So that was big weekend news as well. Before I get your thoughts on that, I will say the measurement of PEDs in the system was like, you know, we've heard this before. Is it like picograms or pictograms? It's basically like a tiny, tiny, tiny amount. They compare it to like grains of salt within an Olympic-sized swimming pool. That's the comparison they like to make. And the claim from Bob Baffert, the trainer, is that, you know, we don't know how this got into the system. You know what it reminds me of is Sean O'Malley back in the day when he tested positive for PEDs and was suspended for a while, and he had no idea how it got into his system. And it was the same sort of comparison with little tiny traces within the system. So what are your thoughts on this overall? Is this an issue that we're going to see like across multiple sports in the future? And should there be a limit for you're allowed this much of something random in your system? What do you think?
I think it's so interesting. Like, it's like, I mean, that's the classic excuse, right? As the players, like, I didn't know I was taking it.
Right.
Like Roger Clemens back right. in the day, right? Like with the steroids and stuff, you know? But to me, it's like, I mean, obviously it's a fucking horse. Like it doesn't know, like that's not the horse's fault. But as far as actual human athletes, it's like, I don't really buy that excuse anymore because you pick the team around you, you know?
I like what you're saying here.
Like
yeah.
Your coach isn't giving you injections. That's like your personal trainers and stuff. So
right.
if those are the people you're relying on, I think you have to take responsibility for that.
Mm.
So in this context with the horses, I mean, I think it's so difficult because, like we said, because it's a horse, right?
Yeah.
And it's so hard to know with these substances. I can remember,
and
like,
I have no idea how you take care of a horse either. You know, I have absolutely no idea. So I have no idea, like, what goes into a racehorse's like diet and like physical training and exercise. Like, I just don't know enough about it to break down.
Yeah, it's like oats and barley or something. But
something like
I
that.
Think
apples.
Well, I remember like when we were playing in the NCAA, right? And you always had the looming like drug test
yeah.
coming, like it could be completely random.
Right.
And creatine was a banned substance by the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
But creatine is a very common, safe supplement that people take when they're working out and stuff. I was taking it during college. And
yeah.
the reason you could take it and get away with that was because it's a natural thing in your body, right? So it's like, okay. His creatine levels might be a little bit high, but no one can prove that you're like illegally
that you didn't produce
adding.
Them
so
yourself.
It's something
yeah.
that everybody does. You know, it's basically
sure.
like not everybody, but
yeah.
so many do, especially at like the professional level. So I think where it gets complicated here is like with this horse, I'm not a scientist. I don't know how long do steroids last in a horse's system.
Yeah.
Like when can this horse even go again? How that impacts the training and how that actually like impacts the livelihood of the horse. I mean, I'm not
no
one of
idea.
Those like crazy animal rights people, but I feel like that's in play here.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it's not the horse's choice.
Sure.
I don't know. I feel like we gotta tread lightly here with what
yeah,
with what we
yeah,
say.
For sure. An interesting one. Just interesting. Obviously, we want like good news coming from the horse world. So it was a bummer to see that. And we'll have to see what'll happen now, because obviously the process will be appealed. So this could be something that doesn't actually amount to much. So it will be interesting to keep an eye on that situation.
This is a guy that owns like all the horses too, right? Like he's like
he's a legendary trainer. Yeah, he's
like the horse racing
guy. A ton of great horses. So definitely an interesting situation there. Before we go ahead and transition into some fight talk this week, we're doing UFC 262 and making some picks for that. It's time for Financial Investing 101.
Because all we care about is getting fucking rich.
Fucking thing sucks.
Last week we did the second leg of the Champions League semifinals with a matchup between it was Man City played PSG and Chelsea played Real Madrid. Mark, how did you do last week?
Fantastic week. And
yeah,
no
yeah,
better
yeah.
time
yeah, yeah,
to
yeah.
announce. No better time to announce that we're doing a European soccer-based
yes.
month of January, right?
Right.
Than to have the flagship club competition of European soccer, that being the UEFA Champions League, and get a clean sweep of both money lines and props.
Congrats.
Cashing out at +750, and that
wow.
was just off of two games, 1 week of action. Imagine what you can get with... How many games are there in a day? There's four games a day for an entire month of June. You're going to be fucking rich. Sell your Bitcoin right now and hop on the train for Euro 2020 / technically 2021.
Right.
Because it's going to be a big one. We took Man City to win with over 1.5 goals scored in the match. They did just that. That cashed out at even money, and they also advanced, which we doubled down on. That was -825, so I got like $12 extra there.
Nice.
But both things happened. Took Chelsea to win at plus 120. They did just that. American Christian Pulisic coming off the bench, getting an assist there. So
yes,
go, go, USA. And also to advance, which they did, at minus 160. One of my favorite dog hits of all time. We looked into the show notes last week, and I realized that I didn't have a dog. I was like, I don't know. So on the spot, I looked, and I saw players to get yellow cards. And my analysis was that Chelsea was going to take the lead, PSG was going to get frustrated and cause a chippy game, and that one of their like more bulldogish center midfield players was going to have to commit a foul at some point and get a yellow card. I said Marco Verratti would be that guy. And sure enough, midway through the second half, things got chippy, and Marco came through with the yellow card at plus 185.
Love that.
Which was hilarious. That was amazing, which was a nice way to prop that game up. And then, of course, we parlayed the money line of both games there and cashed that out at plus 272. We still have a future pick for Man City to go through and win this championship. The two teams actually played, and I hit Chelsea sneak preview for the EPL Quick Pick show. Chelsea beat them at plus 335, which I took as well. So, I mean, that would have been, that's $1,000 right
the
there.
The hand is hot right now. The hand is hot
just in time for the Euros, baby. So make sure you switch over to that feed.
Nice.
More updates to come. But yeah, that the Champions League, we cashed out at plus 750 for the semifinal round.
Very well done. Very well done from Mark there. I tried to get a little bit creative with some of the props for those two games. We both liked the English clubs to advance to the finals, which did happen. But I took a shot on a plus money play on both teams to score in the second half of the Man City PSG game. I figured, yeah, it makes sense that Man City will score and it'll get chippy. But I thought maybe some late goals would come. They ended up not coming, especially once a red card was handed out. I knew that bet was kind of dead in the water. We did, Mark. We did cash our no penalties bet at minus 200. And
I forgot I went in on that with you.
Yeah, I think maybe we should just be maybe what if we just did that regularly? Would we make profit long term? I don't know.
It was close. Man City,
they got called for
a handball, and they called a penalty, and VAR called it back.
Yes, that was close.
At least you got that bit of luck.
That's true. So we cashed that, but then we lose the I thought both teams to score was a good bet for Chelsea. Real Madrid. Real Madrid couldn't get on the board there. So some losses there, but Mark, I also rode with your moneyline parlay at plus 272 to make a slight profit, but pretty boring bets from me last week. You're clearly the star of the week, so congrats for that on the clean sweep. Good work. Let's keep that hand hot going into UFC 262 this weekend. First of all, it kind of feels like this card is not that hyped. I don't know if you kind of feel that way, but I feel like there's not that much like hype around it going on right now. But it is the lightweight title fight, the lightweight division that is absolutely stacked, the lightweight division with Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler and Charles Oliveira, that lightweight division that is one of the most exciting in the UFC. It's the title fight this weekend between Michael Chandler and Charles Oliveira. They're fighting for the title, and there's some other good fights on the card as well. Let's go ahead and kick things off, Mark, with the main card opener. It's a featherweight fight, number 9 ranked Shane Burgos, a slight minus 120 favorite. He takes on the 13th ranked Edson Barboza at even money. Your thoughts on this one?
These were two guys that I don't know a ton about. Obviously, they're both well-ranked fighters here. I'm going to take Shane Burgos. I feel like these guys are so similarly matched both in fighting style and ability. But I think Burgos is just like a little more into his prime. Barboza,
right,
obviously, like he's going to go down as one of the great lightweights. Maybe not one of the great lightweights, but is a very highly regarded, featherweight fighters. I mean, he's obviously world class. He's coming towards the end of his run. So I like Shane Burgos as kind of a momentum pick. I think this is a guy that's on the up. He lost his last fight to Josh Emmett, who's, I think, the number 6 ranked featherweight right now. So, I mean, you can't disrespect him there. That was a fight of the night.
It was a great fight as well. Great fight.
Yeah, and it was by decision. So, I mean, he didn't go down either. So I like this guy to at least go the distance. I think he'll do enough here. I mean, out of his last 5 fights over the last couple of years, he only lost that one, and then he lost to Calvin Kattar, too, back in 2018, and then he took care of business otherwise. So I think he's got a slight edge here. I mean, I think the line here is pretty fair. So I'm gonna take him at minus 120.
Yeah, I agree with that breakdown and analysis. He's a guy who has just one loss, or is it 2 losses on the record? But they're only against. He only loses to really, really solid guys. And Edson Barboza is a solid guy, but when you look at the longevity of the careers of the two, it does seem like one of those fights where Shane Burgos is on the rise and Barboza maybe on the slight decline. I mean, this should be a great fight, though. Shane Burgos gets into absolute slugfests. Like, he can take an enormous amount of punishment, an enormous punch, and he can fight back. He's just a really fun guy to watch. I really am a big fan of his, and I want to see him, you know, keep climbing the ladder here. I think this is a good spot for him to get a ranked win over Barboza, who has been some kind of back and forth with his results. He's you know, you keep thinking he might be donezo, but he pulls off a win when you don't expect it. So I'm hoping that this isn't one of those spots. I think Shane Burgos is just good enough to get this done. I could see it as being like a very technical stand-up fight where they just, you know, strike each other throughout it, and it comes down to a decision. That's probably how I see the fight going, but I'm going to side with Shane Burgos as well as a slight minus 120 favorite. So we'll both be on the Burgos train in that main card opener. Second fight on the main card is a flyweight fight. Number two, Caitlin Chookagian, as a minus 140 favorite, takes on number seventh ranked Vivian Araujo, a plus 115 dog. Don't know much about Araujo, do you? Probably not.
No, I'm supposed to defer to you in this situation.
Yeah, I don't know much about her.
She's the number seventh ranked fighter in the division, so I mean, she's obviously got some quality here. But I think the focus here, I was doing my research on Chookagian.
Yeah.
And she is touted as this is a direct quote, the most boring UFC fighter in the women's women's game.
That's funny.
Yeah, like multiple people have said that. And she's responded saying, like, I don't care. Like, I'm here to win. Valentina Shevchenko even spoke about it, too. apparently she's the most boring fighter in the sport.
Let me take you through her.
But she's ranked number two.
Now, you'll like this, though. The reason she probably has that, okay? I'm going to take you through her wins. A win over Lauren Murphy in 2016, three-round decision. Win over Irene Aldana, decision. Win over Jessica Ai. Or no, loss to Jessica Ai, decision. Win over Alexis Davis, decision. Win over Mara Borrello, decision. I don't think she's ever finished a fight. Win over Jennifer Maia, decision. Win over Duran Calderwood, decision. 2020. Cynthia Calvillo, she wins by decision. Loses to Andrade via body punch, which is probably the result we remember most recently. And then a win over Antonina Shevchenko by decision. A decision machine, Mark. A decision machine.
I think if we're looking at that, we take this minus 140 line and we prop it up by saying that she wins by decision.
Yeah,
that. What would be the line on that? I don't even know if they would have posted that by now.
Yeah, I can look. It might be a little early in the week to pull that, but yeah.
Keep your eye out for that if you're
all
betting
later
in the week.
All of her wins coming by decision. I think that's probably the way to go in this one. We've seen some like good stuff from Chookagian where she can usually like hang in there okay in the striking. It was kind of surprising to see her go down with that. She lost by that body punch in her last loss. But usually she's like fine in the striking, and then she's a pretty solid wrestler too. That big win over Antonina Shevchenko, she just controlled her on the ground the whole fight and got the job done by decision. So yeah, I think you kind of take what's in front of you here, which is to take Caitlin Chookagian at either minus 140 or prop that up later in the week by decision. Ready to move on?
Yeah, let's keep it rolling.
Middleweight fight. This is actually a pretty interesting one. We've got seventh-ranked Jack Hermanson, a most sizable favorite on the main card. He's at minus 165. He takes in the number 10th-ranked Edmund Shahbazyan, who was an absolute hype train that was derailed by Derek Brunson last year. Shahbazyan, a plus 135 dog. What are you going to do?
I'm going to take Hermanson here. I think it's easy to forget that Hermanson was a title contender like 6 months ago.
Yep.
He lost to our boy Marvin Vittori, though, in a surprise fight.
Yeah.
Right? Was he supposed to fight Kevin Holland?
Yeah, so Vittori
Kevin Holland
in.
Fell out.
Right.
And then
Vittori filled in
and beat him. And now Vittori's looking at the title shot.
That's right. Before that had happened, Hermanson and scored a really fast heel hook submission of Kelvin Gastelum. You're right. He was right up there near the title. And
I
now
think he was ranked
sitting
like
at seventh.
Fourth or fifth.
Yeah, now he's sitting at seventh, and this is definitely an interesting question mark fight. Edmund Shahbazyan, kind of the same sort of deal. He was this hype train coming up through the system, like getting a lot of flash highlight reel knockouts. And then he gets grounded by Derek Brunson. But in hindsight, No shame in that. I mean, Derek Brunson just did that exact same thing to Kevin Holland in what was one of the most boring main event fights of the year. Derek Brunson's a very, very solid gatekeeper is what we learned from that. And so no real shame to Edmund Shahbazyan. But that being said, the blueprint's kind of out there in terms of how to beat him, because he was so dominated by Brunson on the ground with so much top pressure and top weight. And Jack Hermanson is someone who I feel like can take that game plan and replicate it and get the job done here. So I feel like if you watch that fight, if you're at Hermanson's team and you watch that fight between Shahbazyan and Brunson, you just kind of make some notes on how to get him to the ground and how to control him and where his weaknesses are. I think it's a pretty straightforward game plan, and it's too obvious a game plan to bet Shahbazyan, in my opinion. Do you agree?
Yeah, I was thinking stylistically that I liked Hermanson's ground ability to get to the takedown and then combine that with his strikes on the ground, where this is me talking. I've been in a UFC fight in my life, but just as a casual observer, I've never really been a huge fan of Shahbazyan's takedown defense. So I think that for me, plus I just think Hermanson is just a little bit more talented all around. Obviously he lost to Vittori in his last fight,
but it was a good fight.
I can't hold that against him.
It was a good fight.
Yeah, I lost to Vittori in my last fight, and like they don't hold it against me. So, like,
yeah.
I mean, what would be
no
what,
shame
I,
in that? No shame.
Yeah,
in
like
that.
we can't judge him against that, you know. So, I'm gonna stick with Hermanson for this fight, both stylistically and in context.
Me too. We're both gonna side with Jack Hermanson at -165. Co-main event, lightweight division, number 5 ranked Tony Ferguson, a -135. Oh, no, he's not. Oh, +135 dog Tony Ferguson is, excuse me, takes on Beneil Dariush, the -165 favorite. Last time Tony Ferguson fought, we said if he loses, he's going to get kind of bounced down the division, and that was probably his last chance. Is this his last chance, or is it over?
I don't know, man. I think this is a sign of it. I mean, Dariush is a guy who he's been climbing up the ranks fast, and he said after his last fight, he said, I want someone in the top 5. So Dana White said, okay, you can have number 5 on the decline, Ferguson. So I think it does match up. Like, I think Tony is still in contention enough to fight a top 10 guy. And I think Dariush is a guy who, you know, he does deserve a shot to crack into that top 7, you know, spot.
Yeah.
So I don't know if a win here, like, I don't think a win here takes Dariush over Conor McGregor, you know?
Right.
But
I agree.
It'll bring him over. McGregor sitting in 6 right now. So I think it brings him
to 7 or something.
Yeah, I would say it brings
around
him to
there.
7. Yeah, maybe even they give Conor the bump just
this,
for the
this is so classic. This is so classic MMA and UFC, though, to have a guy like Tony Ferguson who's like sitting at the tippity top, can't quite get that fight with Habib, can't quite get his title shot that he deserves. He's sitting there at the top, has a long layoff, finally comes back in a fight he's supposed to win, gets beat up by Justin Gaethje, then gets fed to the next like absolute like dark horse in the division in Oliveira, who's on the absolute come up, who dominates him on the ground with really slick jiu-jitsu, loses that fight, and then now gets fed to another hungry guy on the cut. It's just so tough, man. Like, when you're at the top there, you just get fed. You slide down the hill and just get fed to these absolute lions on the come up on the way down. And as much as I want to take Tony Ferguson, and we have taken Tony Ferguson in the past on the podcast, we've talked about how he's a good guy to put your money behind because he doesn't care like about pain. He doesn't care about the damage he takes. He's literally going to leave it all out in the cage, which you got to love. And that's why everyone loves Tony Ferguson. But it's hard to take him on this slide that he's on. It's hard to take him to the top to stop the slide, especially when I really like Beneil Dariush. I think he deserves this shot, and he's been on an absolute run. So it's tough. I'm probably going to side with Dariush here and just take him straight up to get the win. As much as it hurts me to do so, I'd love to see Tony Ferguson pull it off, but I just don't think there's enough reason to take him. Agree?
Yeah, I'll go one step further. I think Dariush is going to get a knockout here.
Wow.
A KO or a TKO.
This is the end of... you're really calling an end to Tony Ferguson's career.
The line the line is not out for the prop on the fight ending early in favor of Dariush yet, so yeah. I have him on the money line right now, but I will, when that comes out, I will take that just for next week's show note. But I think, I don't know, I've just been having a problem with Tony Ferguson stylistically. Like, a couple years ago, it was awesome how he was doing, like, all these crazy, like, spins and flips and shit in the cage.
The game's caught up to him. The game's caught up to him.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think it was the Gaethje fight for the vacant belt where we were like, for the interim belt, we were like, where I thoroughly was backing Tony Ferguson. And I said that in the lightweight division, like, there's three guys you don't bet against, and that's Khabib, Conor, and Tony.
Yeah.
And then he got smoked. Like, he got absolutely murdered. And then I thought, okay, he's going to rebound. He's going to cut the bullshit out, and he's going to come back against Oliveira, which, obviously, Oliveira is a stud. He's fighting for the title after this fight. But again, like Tony Ferguson, it was like he was never going to win. And it seems like he's almost like reluctant to go for a more direct fighting style. And I think the fighters like a Gaethje, like an Oliveira, those guys are primarily wrestlers, obviously, where Dariush is more striking. Mm-hmm. But I think what those all three of them have in common is discipline to stick to their game plans. Where you see a guy like Dariush, he's not necessarily, like, when he doesn't get the knockout in the first two rounds, he sticks to what he's intending to do, and he doesn't get phased by the time ticking by, right? And so I just feel like against a disciplined fighter like Dariush, who's cleaned out, like, the bottom half of this rankings already, and a guy on the come up who's eager to get into that top five and probably deserves to be close to it, I don't think he'll have a problem, like, with any kind of distraction that Ferguson can throw his way or any kind of, like, we say unique fighting style, but at this point, like, what have we not seen Tony Ferguson do, you know? So I kind of, I just feel like Dariush, I think on the day it all comes together for him, and I can see him really dominating this fight on their feet, getting a knockout, getting an early stoppage.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I like everything you said. Definitely another crossroads fight for Tony Ferguson. And his last two losses, he got beat by Justin Gaethje, who is a, you know, a guy with a wrestling background, but has really good boxing. Obviously, we found out mainly in that fight just how good his boxing was. But then to see him lose to a jiu-jitsu specialist like Oliveira, it's just tough because you're seeing him lose to guys with two different strengths. And so it shows that, you know, maybe he's quite the same old Tony Ferguson that we loved. And it's hard to take him. So I'm going to agree with you here. I think Dariush it's a good spot for Dariush to get a big win and get a big name on his resume. So I like that you're going to go for the knockout. I'm just going to go ahead and take him straight up. And the next and last fight to break down, Mark, is the main event between Charles Oliveira and Michael Chandler. But before we do that, a quick word from our sponsors. This show is brought to you by WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. So get started today, and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 in a risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today.
We're also brought to you by Roman. And look, no one's perfect except Khabib. Even the best fighters in the world miss weight significantly sometimes. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, that's perfectly okay unless you're Khabib. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/SGP now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet, and getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/SGP to complete an online visit. GetRoman.com/SGP now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/SGP. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Lastly, we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you have to check it out. Their new fantasy best ball tournaments are some of the best around, including their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament, where you can win $1 million. Plus, you can play a number of games involving parlaying player props for MLB, the NBA, and much more. They also have a special NBA playoffs best ball tournament coming up as well. So go to underdogfantasy.com and use the promo code SGPN. And don't forget to enter that Best Ball Mania 2 tournament for your chance to win $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Just like that, we're back, Mark, and it's time to break down the lightweight championship fight. Perhaps not the most hyped fight. I think any fight with Conor McGregor would have probably done better pay-per-view numbers, but perhaps the most competitive fight between Michael Chandler, who scored a big knockout over Dan Hooker in his UFC debut. That was a big one. And then Charles Oliveira, who's kind of been the dark horse in the division, a guy that not a lot of people were talking about, but has really been putting in the work. And he's a jiu-jitsu guy who's been on the climb, and now they meet each other for the title. Let's get you the lines on these. Let's see. We've got Charles Oliveira. He's the number 3 lightweight in the world. He's a slight minus 130 favorite right now. You can get Michael Chandler, who's currently ranked at number 4. You can get him at plus 110 as a slight dog. Mark, how do you see this fight going?
Well, look, I have to say, first of all, I mean, Michael Chandler, he walks into the UFC,
yep,
gets a first-round knockout, and now he's the number 4 ranked fighter in the division. I don't know if anyone's ever gotten that highly ranked in such a short amount of time. Who did he beat? Dan Hooker?
Yeah, he beat Dan Hooker, yep.
Yeah. Easily, and Dan Hooker, an absolute savage. So people were really surprised by that. So Michael Chandler, I mean, he's quality. He's a great all-around fighter.
Yep.
He was doing it in Bellator for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And so
yep.
He finally got the...
He was a stud in Bellator there. He was their lightweight champion. And just, it was hard to see whether the jump to the UFC, how smooth it was going to be. And you can't do it with much more style points than getting a first-round knockout on a huge card. It was on the McGregor-Poirier 2 card. So what a way to introduce yourself to the UFC, and now you get a title shot. How do you see the stylistic matchup playing out? This is an interesting one. Michael Chandler's a wrestling background, Oliveira, a ground game specialist, a jiu-jitsu guy. Is this the type of fight we see hitting the mat, or is it one where they kind of offset each other and end up striking?
I think it definitely hits the mat, and I think Oliveira is going to be the more dominant one here. Charles Oliveira, more submissions than any fighter in the history of UFC.
That's
in
crazy.
Any division, any weight.
Wow.
Which is wild. So I think it's safe to say he's going to go for the submission. I think, like you said, Michael Chandler, he's a great all-around guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he is a great guy.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a great
guy. I was talking about in the ring, but off the ring, too.
He's a great guy.
Out of the cage. Yeah,
yes.
Great dude. But a great all-around fighter. I mean, he can fight standing up, and he also has good wrestling ability. My question is good wrestling ability going to be enough against Oliveira? And I have to say, I don't think so. I think Charles Oliveira, there's so many things I could say here. I feel like this division, when it comes to wrestling, this division has shown, right? We saw the dominance of Khabib for so long. And then we saw Justin Gaethje stepping up. He's now, was he the number 1 or number 2 contender in this division? And now we've got Oliveira at number 3. All three of those guys, elite wrestlers that have really wrestled their way through this division. I think Oliveira is the next guy that's going to do that. I think you look at the guys who are predominantly strikers, like a Dan Hooker, like a Darren Till. Who else comes to mind? Conor McGregor comes to mind. Tony Ferguson, who we just spoke about. Yeah. All of those guys have kind of given way to the wrestling background. Michael Chandler, he's new to this whole thing. He's sitting right in the middle there, right in between all of those names at number 4.
Right.
And I think Oliveira is just going to have a little bit too much here. I mean, obviously just a world-class wrestler. And I think, look, Chandler's probably the stronger guy pound for pound in terms of physical strength. But I think Oliveira has enough here to get him to the ground. I do think he submits him. I'm going to take a Charles Oliveira submission at plus 220 in addition to the money line at minus 130.
Wow. Interesting. Good breakdown. Yeah, his submission game is unbelievable. You should look up some of his choke finishes are so slick. He should have had Tony Ferguson tapping out to an armbar. He had it completely locked in. In their last
fight.
The
bell rang, right?
Yeah, he was saved by the bell, but still Tony Ferguson sat through that armbar submission for a solid like 5 to 10 seconds just with his arm completely twisted backward. Charles Oliveira is an absolute game contender. However, Mark, I'm going to have to go against you on this main event pick. I am on the Michael Chandler train at plus 110, and I'm proud to say it, Mark. I think how this fight goes is you're right. You're going to see Oliveira try to push for a takedown and try to get into these scrambling ground game situations where he can lock up a quick choke, where he can lock up an armbar. But you look at Michael Chandler, Mark. Look at those legs, man. You said this on one of our first UFC shows on the podcast. Don't forget about the legs. Focus on the legs. The guy's got absolute tree trunks. He's got a great wrestling base. I think he can keep this fight standing. I think that's what he's going to want to do. I mean, after that knockout of Dan Hooker, you're coming in with a ton of confidence, a ton of hype, and belief in your hands that maybe you haven't had before. That being said, he did have some knockouts in Bellator as well, so he's always believed in his hands, Mark. He has the big wrestling base to fend off these takedown attempts and keep this fight standing, and I think he's just hit so much harder than Oliveira that if they get into a couple of those, like, quick pocket exchanges where they exchange a couple hooks or whatever it may be, I think he has the power to put a guy like Oliveira down, and that's where it could get very interesting. And I like his wrestling background enough to believe that if he does get in a scrambling situation with Oliveira, he can maybe get up one or two times. I hope he doesn't get in more of those because Oliveira is so dangerous in the submission game. But I think he's a good enough of a wrestler and a hard enough hitter to take here at a dog price of plus 110. That's my analysis on that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have to be, as a viewer, be prepared to watch a lot of ground game here.
Yeah.
Because I think Oliveira is coming into this and saying, as soon as possible, get this guy down and go from there.
I hope not, though, because if Chandler can stuff a couple and get this, like, into the later rounds where they're not as fresh and it gets a little tiring, I think it could be good. I think we could see some different aspects of these guys that we don't typically see. Sometimes when you see two guys who are really good, you know, with really good ground games like this, sometimes you see them just offset each other and stand up and strike. And Oliveira is actually, we got to give him a little bit of credit for his hands. He's not bad with his hands either. So I don't know. This is an interesting fight, a really, really close one, as the line suggests. Two guys that are deserving of the shot. Obviously, Dustin Poirier should be, you know, he should either have the title already or be, you know, next in line to get it. But he chose the money fight with McGregor, which you just can't blame him for. So this is probably the most competitive title fight that the UFC could put together for the time being. And it's a great one. I'm gonna go ahead and stick to my gut with Michael Chandler at plus 110. I'm not going to get fancy and take him by decision or knockout or anything like that. I'm just going to take the slight plus money. Mark is on Oliveira. He likes
what
him.
Do we think about? I have to pose this question.
Go ahead.
Michael Chandler's fighting nickname is Iron Michael Chandler.
Right.
Ripping off Mike Tyson.
Yes.
How do we feel about stealing? I don't want to say stealing. How do we feel about copying another fighter, let alone Mike fucking Tyson as your name? What do we think about that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I like the idea of paying tribute to Mike Tyson, if that's kind of the idea behind it. But at the same time, if you're a wrestler, it's a little funny. You know what I mean? If your thing was just that you knock guys out in MMA, then it would make a little more sense. You know what I mean? Do you agree with that? Like, if his style
was
a little different.
You're like a Curtis Blades, like, right. Heavyweight.
If you just crushed people. If you're an Ngannou and you want to use Mike Tyson as a nickname, like, no problem. But if you're Mike Chandler and you're predominantly a wrestler, maybe not. I don't know. It's an interesting one, but he took advantage of his name being Michael. So, you know, you got to give him credit.
I just feel like that's one of those nicknames that, like, their fighting should retire nicknames.
Oh, interesting. No one can use it. No one can use Iron Mike anymore is what you're saying.
Like, yeah, you can't be Iron. Like, the Iron has been used. You can be... You could be Steel Michael Chandler. Granite.
Yeah.
Like, but you can't be Iron.
I like it. Let's go ahead and close out the show with the Lock Dog Parlay.
When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Subconsciously. I'm still alive.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Lock Dog Parlay.
Okay, Mark. Something interesting here I want to mention. UFC 262, the biggest favorite, Mark, on this entire event is a minus 210 favorite. So very, very even matchups all throughout the card. Typically on pay-per-views, we see some lopsided matchups or some big names that are big favorites in these fights. But yeah, very even card throughout. So that's interesting. And I just want to mention that since we are going to go ahead and give our locks, Mark, the best bet on the card for you this weekend, who is it?
I'm going to give it to the most boring fighter in the UFC. Not my words. I'm just don't shoot the messenger. That is Caitlin Chookagian at minus 140, one we already broke down. I feel like that seems like a safe place. She's the index fund of UFC. I think that's a safe place to put your money, so I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah, she's probably – yeah, that fight probably.
That should be her fighting nickname, Caitlin the index fund, Chookagian.
I think
the market basket.
The lock would probably really be, I don't know what the line is on this, is not out yet, but the fight to go to a decision is probably like a lock as well. Just the fight going to a decision.
Yeah, it's like her to win is minus 140 and decisions like minus 200.
Right,
like
right.
More likely than just the money line.
My lock, Mark, honestly, I like my picks from the main car that just went over, but...
It wouldn't be a show if you didn't go.
It wouldn't be a show. Well said. I'm going to go ahead and dive into the prelims. Move all the way down. You can find a lightweight matchup. I'm going to take Tucker Lutz. Remember that name, Mark. We'll be talking about him down the line. Tucker Lutz, a slight minus 125 favorite. He takes on Kevin Aguilar. Tucker Lutz, a great professional record. He's 11-1-0, and he's on a good streak right now. He made a good win in the Contender Series last year over Sherrod Blackledge, and I liked what I saw from him there. And Kevin Aguilar is not a guy that I'm too high on. So without going too far into fighters that you probably don't care about, I'm just going to mention Tucker Lutz is my lock at minus 125. Mark, your dog.
My dog, I have the only plus money I took this week is plus 220 for Oliveira to get a submission here.
Up a choke. I like it.
Yeah, so I guess that's going to be my dog, unless you've got somebody farther down the list in the prelims that you think I should take as a dog pick here.
The dog pick is obvious, Mark. The dog pick is Michael Chandler in the main event to get the win and take the UFC title, take the division by storm, Mr. Chandler. Come over from Bellator, get a big knockout, and then get another victory in a title fight. Yeah, that's my dog. It's going to be Michael Chandler plus 110 to get it done. I don't have any other good dogs for you to borrow. And I know I'm not going to get you off that Charles Oliveira train that you're on. So we'll be on opposite sides of the main event, but that's okay. One of us will come out on top. Your parlay, Mark.
My parlay is going to be a 3-fight parlay.
Okay.
Charles Oliveira, Jack Hermanson, and the index fund Chookagian. just 3 fights. They're all on the money line. They cash out at plus 387.
Good stuff. I just combined two of my favorite bets. And that is my lock and my dog, Tucker Lutz, minus 125, and Michael Chandler, plus 110. Throw those two together for a plus 278 payout. Nice and simple, 2-fight plus money parlay. Any last words from Mark before we close out the show? Subscribe to the podcast. Like we said, we're going through a transition, so please listen to our next couple episodes so you're all up to speed on that. We'll be jumping over to a new feed shortly and going through a rebrand. You can follow me at BetOnKyle on Twitter. You can follow at the SGP Network on Twitter. You can visit sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Rate, review, subscribe. Any last words from Mark before we close out the show for the week?
Don't miss out on free money. Thousands of dollars being won in the month of June on the new feed. We will see you over there.